Good to be with you today. It's a story of a young boy who lived in a two-story home. His parents' room was on the first floor and his on the second. Stuffed with his animals, toys, all of his wonderful gadgets and gizmos that young boys will collect. They all stayed up in his room, where he could hide away and find comfort in the wonderful stories and all of his imagination that he created up there in his room on that second floor, their beautiful, beautiful home. One night, as this little boy slept, up in his room, down below there was a fire in the kitchen. The smoke billowed and the flames grew, engulfing the stairs and finding the young boy's room filled with smoke. Waking up, he climbed out the window and onto the section of roof that covered their front porch. Looking down, he saw nothing but smoke fuming out from under where he stood. And as he stood, he heard through the smoke strange voices of people yelling. He heard one voice that he was unaware that was the city fire chief that was giving instructions to the crew below and to this young boy who stood above. He was scared. The flames grew higher and the smoke getting thicker. The boy had two choices. The comfort of a room he had always known with stuffed animals, gizmos, and gadgets. Or the cloudiness of something he could not yet see. Something he could not understand. Only the smoke beneath his feet. Nathaniel was a young man who at this point, he didn't know what he didn't know. We don't get a lot about Nathaniel in Scripture. In fact, we actually look at Scripture and we aren't sure if Nathaniel's actually his real name, if Bartholomew's his real name, if some combination of the two, one being his first, one being his last, but we just see Nathaniel. In John's account of the gospel, he's mentioned being a man that seemed to have the right friends. Philip was someone who had heard about Jesus. This was right after Jesus had called Peter and James and John and Andrew. And he just seemed to be in the right town, with the right group of friends around him, and we see him only two times. One when Jesus first comes onto the scene, and then again when Jesus kind of goes off the scene for a while. But as with the rest of Scripture, we're reminded today that there is no story, that there is no person that is insignificant to God. And when we see Nathaniel's story in Scripture, we see a story of faith, and we see a story of hope and trust that goes beyond what he could not understand. So if you would, open your Bibles this morning to John chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 43 through 51, and it's the story of Nathaniel. It's the story of Philip and Nathaniel, one that is recorded here to teach us some very specific things. Some general truths that really can hit us in the heart sometimes. In John chapter 1, starting with verse 43, it says, The next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." We've heard that call a few times. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and of whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. We'll stop there for just a moment. Two characters in this story, it's amazing to read about. We're going to talk a lot about Nathanael, but I want to see with Philip for just a moment. It was amazing that throughout Scripture, throughout the Gospels, throughout the time that the disciples walked with Jesus, there was always this cloud surrounding him. And there was something that no one could quite understand about Jesus, but Philip, we already see, has a little bit of a grip on it before he even starts. Philip has just met this man. He has just met Jesus, and he looks at him, and when he meets Jesus, when Jesus says, come and follow me, his immediate reaction is somebody's got to know about this. Somebody's got to know that something amazing is going on. And so he goes and finds his best friend, Nathanael. And notice what he says. He says, the one Moses wrote about in the law, the one the prophet spoke about, he is here. And I bet Philip ran up to Nathanael, and I bet he couldn't catch his words. He was probably rambling on like you guys mostly think that I do sometimes. I know, don't worry. But he was probably so excited about this, and he was trying to tell him, and he was trying to get this out, and he actually lays it out almost perfectly. He says, this is the one, this is Jesus. He's the Messiah, he's the Savior, he's the one that's come to be sent by God for all of us. He fulfills the prophets. He's the one all of Scripture has been pointing to. He's the one that Moses was pointing to. Everything before us has come to this point, and Jesus is here. He's excited about it, and he's in love with this fact that it's really happening. And he's one of the only people that, like, get it while Jesus comes. Almost everybody else, it takes them until after Jesus leaves. We get one other time where a person, aside from a demon-possessed man, we get one other time where a person is actually like, you're the Christ, Son of the living God. And Jesus is like, oh, hey, he finally gets it. But for everybody else, they're just in this cloud, in this smoke, in this uncertainty. And Philip gets it, and he comes up to Nathanael, and he's telling him these things. And I think Nathanael, probably with his friend, somebody that he's been hanging out with, somebody that he's been best friends with probably for a long time, he's listening to Philip, and he's thinking, man, this is something that's getting exciting. This is something that's going on that's cool. And then all of a sudden, the one thing that Philip, in a way, slips up on is the thing that really hits Nathanael in the heart. Because he's getting all excited about this. He's getting all excited about who's come and what's come. And then all of a sudden, Philip says, Jesus of Nazareth. And there's two understandings of the phrase that follows. One that points to the condition of Nathanael's heart, and the other that points to the condition of his mind. And I think both of these are areas that, whichever one is true in the tone that Nathanael spoke it with, I think both of them hold truth in our lives, in the ways that we can kind of look at when people are telling us truth, when Jesus is calling us to something. I think we can fall into both of these traps that Nathanael may have fallen into. The first one is this idea that Nathanael, he let his personal prejudice keep him from learning about the Savior. Because Nathanael looks at his friend and he comes up with this question. I think if I had a friend that came up to me and was saying that, like, the Savior was here, the Messiah was here, the one that Moses spoke about, the one that the prophet spoke about, the one that all of my religion was about, if my friend came up to me and told me he is here, I think my question would be a little bit different than Nathaniel's, but he says, Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? He's like, what? God, why didn't you pick my hometown? Like, why didn't you, like, go Anamosa? Like, I could understand if something good was coming from there. Marion, like, something good could have been coming from there. Lisbon? Just joking, Henry. No, but he goes through these things, and he's like, can it really happen? Like, that just doesn't make sense. What we see is when we look at who Nathaniel is, from the little bit that we get of him, we see points of enmity between Nathaniel and this place called Nazareth. You see, Nathaniel was a man from Bethsaida, born probably in Cana. And both of these sat on kind of opposite ends of this town that sat in the middle called Nazareth. And the town that sat in the middle, the reason why Nathaniel would kind of have some pause here is, as a proud Jewish man, Nathaniel would see this town of Nazareth as associated with God's curse for his people. Because he looked at Nazareth as this town that used to be of some prominence. And he would look at it and think that it's just sold out. Because Nazareth in that time had this military outpost that sat in Nazareth, and it had come this almost this cancer spot that the Jewish thought of when they saw this, that just spread all around and that just destroyed any credibility from Nazareth. And so they look at this town, and Philip comes and he tells Nathaniel, you know, he comes from Nazareth, and Nathaniel's just like, no, not happening. Stopping right there. Nothing good can come from Nazareth. Not anymore. And you know, the hard thing, when we look at Nathaniel, we think, how could he be so silly? How could he look at just a town that somebody's supposed to come from and turn down every bit of truth that Philip said just because of a town name? But I think that for us, sometimes we have Nazareth in our own mind. You know, the disciples had a Nazareth. Jesus went into a town called Samaria. And that was where the disciples thought Nazareth would be for them. They were blown away that Jesus would even associate with someone from Samaria. Jonah, when we look back in the Old Testament, he had a Nazareth in his life. It was called Nineveh. But he looked at that town and thought, God's grace doesn't belong there. Maybe for some of us, the Nazareth in our life is that you've been hurt by people who claim to be your friends, and now a personality type has become your Nazareth. Maybe for some political party that stands against many of the beliefs that you hold, that political party has become a Nazareth that you don't think anything good can come from. Maybe it stems from being hurt by someone in a church or someone who is a Christian. And because of what they did to you or what they said to you, you believe that your Nazareth is organized religion, and you shut down anything that people come at you with. The point is, we all have Nazareths. We all have things in our lives that when somebody brings that up, there's been something that's happened. There's been a stain there, and we don't want to listen to anything else because of that. And how dangerous would that have been for Nathaniel in this moment? Nathaniel hears all of the truth that comes. That this Jesus is the man that was promised, the one that Moses wrote about, the one that the prophets wrote about, the one that God's promised. But he turns away because of the name of the town. Don't let others be the reason that you don't answer the call of Christ. God uses some amazing and messed up vessels to bring his news to people. God uses people that no one would pick on the playground. He uses people that have a past, that have things in their lives, and he uses them to bring his news to the world. And for some of us, we need to listen to those people, and we need to hear what they have to say, because they could be bringing news like Philip was, that he came and said, "He's come. Jesus is here. You need to meet him." We test it, and we ponder it, and we investigate it. But sometimes the messages that are going to come are going to be from people that we think have no right or authority to speak those to us. But don't let that personal prejudice keep you from learning about the Savior. Philip says one challenge to Nathanael when he comes back and says, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Philip does an amazing thing. He says, "Come and see. Come and see." You have that doubt, you have that hang up, come and see. And what Nathanael has to realize is there's something that he does not understand. He does not understand, and he has to fight through this fact that he can't let what he doesn't understand hold him back from what Christ is calling him to. Because Nathanael goes in, what Nathanael hears and what he understands to be true are in contrast. What Nathanael hears is that this is Jesus from Nazareth, and this is where it comes in, and we wonder if this was something with his mind more than his heart. We'll give Nathanael the benefit of the doubt here for just a moment. Because Nathanael, it seems like he's such a smart man, such an intelligent guy, that he looks at this and he thinks, "Nope, that's not right." Because Nathanael looks at it and he's like, "Okay, well, let's see, where's the Messiah supposed to be from? Bethlehem, Nazareth. Bethlehem, Nazareth. Nope, you don't get it wrong. You got it wrong. Nazareth, can anything good come from Nazareth? Probably not. Definitely not the Messiah. He's supposed to come from Bethlehem. I think you got it wrong. I think you got it wrong, Philip. We need to look at this again." Luckily for Nathanael, he has the diligence and the humility to look into what he doesn't. In this question, it may just hold some uncertainty about if God could work in this way, if God could bring someone out of this area. What Nathanael would have realized is that because he looked through the fog instead of turning away from a challenge, he now knew the truth. Jesus came from where he was supposed to come from. All of what was written was true. He came from Bethlehem. born in Bethlehem. He was called a Nazarene because he grew up there. And what we see and what Nathaniel learns from digging into this story is that Jesus really was the Christ. But you see, the confusion was only cleared when he was courageous enough to face his conflicts. His confusion was only cleared when he was courageous enough to face his conflicts. When he stepped into them. When he wrestled with them. And I think that's where it's hard sometimes, because we look into Scripture and we're like, oh my, it says that? God wants that? And then we turn the page. We're like, okay, well, let's go back to that love. Yeah, that's better. You think, no, I don't think I'm going to stick there. I don't like that part of God. That part of him doesn't seem so appealing to me, and so we move on. And we don't face the conflicts. We don't face the challenges. And sometimes we miss understanding that God is trying to teach us in our lives. And sometimes it's the things that are going to step on our toes and that are going to kind of pierce our hearts a little bit. Because Nathaniel worked past the conflicts and the confusion that he saw, there's an ending to this story. It says, when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching him, he said, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." How would you like Jesus to say that to you? "Here's an Iowan in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked him. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." This is where Nathanael's mind is blown. Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." The little boy stood there on the roof that stretched over his porch, pondering to go back into the room where his comfort laid. Everything that he had grown up and known and held dear was. Wondering what to do. Feeling the heat of the flames behind him. Through all of the confusion around him, the little boy heard a voice. It was the voice of his father. He couldn't see this face, but through the smoke, he heard his dad say, "John, I won't let you fall." We each have a choice, like Nathaniel did. Do we stand? Do we stand in the confusion? Do we just run back to what we do not know? Do we run back to what we're comfortable with? What's cozy? And do we listen to our Father's voice? Do we jump? I pray that we'll trust God in the areas where we do not know. When we lean on his word and when things come up that make our minds spin, I hope we listen to the Father. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, there's many times when you call us out. And God, we don't know where it'll lead. We don't know what it'll hold. But God, when you are the one that is calling us, we trust that you will not let us fall. God, like Nathaniel, we each have our own Nazareths in our lives. We each have times when we hear your truth and we turn away because of the way it's being sold to us. And God, for all of us, we have areas where we don't understand and we need your wisdom and we need just the energy to dig in and to discern what your truth is. God, help us to always turn to your voice. Help us to always look into your word when we're challenged with what we do not know. God, we pray that through the smoke, through the confusion, through the cloudiness, God, allow us to hear you. Allow us to have faith and trust in our Father. Lord, we love you. God, we give our lives to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand, and as we sing this next song, if